Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. While you're turning there, I'll read an intro. Forgive me, God, I had no time. The year slipped by and time was spent. And all the good things that I meant to do were left undone because I had no time to stop and pause, but rushed about, went here and there, did this and that, was everywhere. I had no time to meditate on things worthwhile, no time to wait upon the Lord and hear Him say, "Well done, my child, you have shown the way." And so I wonder, after all, when life is over, and I'm called to meet my Savior in the sky, where saints live on and never die, if I can find one soul, I have won to Christ. By some small deed I have done, or will I hang my head and whine? Forgive me, God, I had no time. Psalm 126. Psalm 126, we're reading in verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There's a sign, at least it used to be, in the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. It was a checkerboard with 64 squares. In the lower left-hand corner of this checkerboard was a grain of wheat right at the bottom, or I guess left-hand. So lower side. And then going up, there was 64 squares. And in the display, the question was there, if you doubled the amount of wheat as you move from square to square, how much would you have when you reach the 64th? A carload or a train load? And then it answers it. It says, you would have enough wheat to cover the country of India 6 feet deep. Now, that's the power, and the whole reason it's showing that is the power of multiplication. Suppose you go out and you reach one person for Jesus Christ, and you stick with that person for 6 months. You disciple them. You get them to come to church. You see them baptized. You see them growing. And for 6 months, you work with them. And then you're teaching them how to lead someone else to the Lord. At the end of 6 months, what do you have? Two. You and that other person. But at the end of a year, because you taught them how to lead someone else to the Lord, let's say the next 6 months, both of you work on one more. At the end of 1 year, it's four, and you'd say, well, that's not many. Well, again, we're looking at that board, and that board is showing us the power of multiplication. At the end of 18 months, there are eight. At the end of 2 years, there are 16. But do you know how many people there would be at the end of 17 years? This shocked me. Again, this is the power of multiplication. At the end of 17 years, there would be 6 billion people. Now, I'm not, you know, somebody here this morning, you're going to come down, you know, you hit the altar, Lord, give me my 6 billion, all right? And you're thinking dollars because you're thinking of Dave Olson. All right, we're actually talking about souls this morning, all right? We're talking about souls. And we're not saying, oh, Lord, give me 6 billion, but can you say, Lord, give me one? Give me one soul, and hey, let's work on them for 2 years and teach them how to win another soul. All right, so at the end of 20 years, is it okay to have a couple hundred and not 6 billion? But I think sometimes we always have to say, well, I've got to have 100. No, ask God for one. One soul. One soul. Last Sunday we were talking about, and then Thursday we talked about it. Sunday night we talked about it when we had our youth day. I did look at it. We had 12 saved last Sunday. 12 saved. And some people, maybe they've had a lot more, but 12 lives that were changed. That's what God is asking us to consider. He's asking us in verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What's interesting in this passage, as you study it, you'll notice right at the beginning, it says, there's a little heading, it says, a song of degrees. And I don't understand it all, but as you normally go and you research a passage and you research a text, you want to try to find out who wrote it. Well, a lot of people believe that Ezra might have wrote this, or one of them. In fact, in the book of Psalms, there are a few that they believe maybe Ezra wrote, maybe some others. But they believe that somebody wrote this coming out of the captivity from Babylon. And they came out, and there's a context kind of there, but I believe that the context is very fitting for you and I today, and that is, if we go out and we sow and we put in the time and we're weeping when we go out, the Bible says, doubtless, you can count on it. Mark it down, guarantee it. You will come again rejoicing. Let's ask the Lord to bless as we look at this subject this morning, and that is bringing in the sheaves. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this time that we can gather this morning. Lord, I pray that we can challenge through the Word of God. Holy Spirit, as always, give power. I claim that. And do what I can't and speak to hearts. Deal with us in this area of soul winning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here you have then a couple of ideas, and we're going to look at them this morning. First of all, notice you have the persistence of the sower. What is the persistence? You see it in verse 6. He that goeth forth. The persistence of the sower is that he's going forth. And we're going to look at a couple of other verses along with this. But there needs to be a persistence. There must be a going forth. And that is my first challenge to us as a church. Some of you, maybe you've just been coming on Sunday morning. Maybe you've been thinking about coming Sunday night, or maybe on another time. Well, God, I'm going to push you a little bit this morning to say you need to take that next step, and you may have found salvation. You need to share it with somebody else. You need to find somebody else, because you have people, you have contacts that nobody else has. And God wants you to share the Word of God with them. But the persistence is there, is that we have to go. We can't sit around and say, well, I would like to. No, we must go. And why do we have to go? Well, in Matthew 28... turn there if you want to. I can read it. In Matthew chapter 28, most of us know, we call it the Great Commission. But in Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Why should I go? Because there is an obligation. There's an obligation, because what are we doing? What are we being told to do? In Matthew 28, we need to go because God tells you to. Go ye into all the world. You've been given something. That's another reason. And in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Bible tells us that he has given us the Word of God. He has bestowed upon us something special, and that is the gospel. So not only are we told to do it, but we are given the Word of God. We are given the gospel. And God says, you know what? I could get animals to go out and talk. I could get birds maybe to sing of my praises, but he wants you. He saved you, and he relies on you to go and give his message out. Now, you and I can look at it and say that seems kind of odd. And the reason is because most people don't do it. I think God could create another being that would be a little more obedient. Maybe a robot, he could create something and he could put them together and they could do a better job, because it seems like most Christians don't even care. They've been saved. Their eternal destiny is set. It's secure. But what about that person you work with? What about that neighbor? What about the coworker we mentioned, that some friend, some relative, getting them in? We need to have persistence. Persistence. Because there's an obligation. We're told to do it. The Bible tells us that also God has put the gospel in our hands. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible tells us that there's going to be an examination someday. And what you have been given, you are going to be answerable for. So when you stand before God someday, he's going to say, I gave you the gospel. I gave you a mouth. I gave you the opportunities. And whether you like it or not, I don't like everything that's going on in America, but I have the freedom to hand out a tract. I have the freedom. We can come together this morning and we can bring visitors in and we can preach Jesus Christ. And they can hear about salvation. And in some regards, that's even a little easier. Sometimes you don't have to know everything. You don't have to know all about the Bible. Get them to church. Come with me. I'll take you to dinner afterwards. Just come with me. I'll pick you up. We have so many opportunities in America. So many opportunities to give people the gospel. So many opportunities to spread the word of God. And thought about that as far as the cost. You know, if there was a knock on your door and there was a lady standing at your door and you said, what do you want? And you questioned them. And she says, you know, I want you to carry this package to a friend. They live on the other side of town, and it's late. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, you would be mad. All right, you're saying that you woke me up at 1 o'clock in the morning to carry this box to your friend. And it's not even that important. Oh, you'd be irate, wouldn't you? But if she knocked on the door and she said, there's somebody dying. This is the antidote. You're the only one that can do it. Would you please? It changes the whole perspective, doesn't it? And you and I have an antidote. An antidote to save people from eternal damnation. And God has given us that antidote, and he stopped and he said, would you do it for me? And some of us are like, I know if I got time, God, and you come back and I can schedule that. And people die. Why? Because we're not persistent in our going. That's the first thing. The second thing, notice we see the persistence. Notice in our text there in Psalm 126, it says, he that goeth forth, that's the persistence. Notice the second thing, and weepeth. What is that? That's the passion. The passion. The passion is that we are weeping as we're going out, as we're sowing. As we're going out, we're weeping. That's the passion. There is an intensity there when I'm going out. It's not just the persistence. There's a passion there. There's an intensity because I know it's important and I know it's hard. I think some of the weeping may also, the tears coming down, may also indicate when it's in the context, it's giving the idea of bearing or sowing seed. Those of you that have gone out, and you have had a garden, or maybe you grew up on a farm, there may be a little bit of indication with this weepeth, because there are tears, there's sweat coming down. Why? Because the sowing is sometimes the hard part. You know that in the area of physically, in a garden. Going out at harvest time and picking the corn or picking the berries or picking the beans or picking something. Oh man, that's kind of the fun, isn't it? And some of us in the area of soul winning, we've been on both sides. And it sure is nice to walk into a house. Some of us have had that experience. You walk into the house and they fall down. What must I do to be saved? Like, well, let me take just a few moments here. Oh boy, those are exciting. But there's some of you, you've been in the weeping part of it for a while. And so it's years that you're sowing and sowing, just like in a garden or just like on a farm that you're hoeing and you're tearing up that fallow ground. You're putting in the seed, and it's years and years and years and years. And that's laborious, isn't it? There's some of you that have worked with, you've been with co-workers. And you've tried to share with them the gospel. Some of you have mentioned it to me. And it's been years, some of them 6, 7, 8, 10 years. And then all of a sudden there's just a little bit. Like, oh, they asked me a question. And you've given them tracts, you've tried to give them Bibles, you've tried to do different things. But you've been at it and at it and at it. And the Bible tells us that we should have a passion. And sometimes we have to be reminded to keep that passion at an intensity because it can be laborious. It can sometimes be hard. It can be lonely sometimes. There's nobody else there. Like we said, there's nobody else that can reach that person like you can reach them. Some people don't seem to even care like you care. But that's because God has put that burden on you. And so we have to sow. Sowing, as compared with reaping, is in some instance a self-denying work. The sower has to be out there in the rough winds of March. Sometimes they have to go, and it's the cold and clammy earth. And it is the same in spiritual things. The harvest period of revival is warmth and enthusiasm. But the sowing, many times, even in a church setting, even in a soul-winning setting, the sowing is sometimes in that cold and clammy earth. Sometimes it's in those dreary March days. But keep at it. Don't quit. The passion of the sower is that there is weeping. But notice what else here. He goeth forth and weepeth, and notice the third thing, bearing precious seed. We see the persistence, we see passion, but notice you see planting, and notice what they are planting. Bearing precious seed. What are they planting? They're planting the Word of God. And this is what you and I must be doing. We must be diligent in understanding the Word of God. You must be diligent in knowing the Word of God. You need to be in the book. How can you tell somebody to know Jesus when you don't know him? How can you introduce your friend when he's not your friend? And so what do you need to do? You need to be in the book. You need to know the book. You need to love the book. Because then you can share it. Because that is what we're doing. The planting of the sower is that he sows the word. He sows the word. And we're presenting that problem. You know, it's not easy to share the word of God with people sometimes as far as in the area of salvation. Because what do we have to do? We're presenting that they're a sinner. People don't like to be told, hey, you're a sinner. But as you use the word of God, isn't that true with the Word of God? The Word of God is described as a fire. It's described as a hammer. It's described as a sword. It's described as a probing instrument. So what can you bank on when you use the Word of God? You can bank on this, that the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Word of God, He can go forth and do what you can't. You go and you just say some fuzzy words, or you just say some silly words, and you think that's going to break their heart? No. But you get familiar with the Word of God, and what you will find is that the Word of God can go ahead of you, and it can melt a heart. It can break a heart of stone. And so we must be familiar with the Word of God, because that's what we got to be planting. And we're planting the seed of the Word of God, because through the Word of God, they'll understand they're a sinner. Through the Word of God, they'll understand that death is pronounced. Through the Word of God, you can present Christ as their substitute. Through the Word of God, they will have faith. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What can we do when we're going out? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be planting the Word of God. But notice the last thing here in our text. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth, that's the persistence, and weepeth, that's the passion, bearing precious seed. What is that? That's the planting. But notice the promise shall doubtless come again. Shall doubtless come again. There's a promise to the sower. So what is the challenge to us as Christians? The challenge to us as Christians is don't stop sowing. Don't quit. Why? Because God says you will doubtless come again. You can count on God. And when God says something, it's not like man. Hey, man will lie. Man will let you down. But God will not let you down. The Word of God will not return void. It's a promise to the sower. You will come again. Soul winning brings rejoicing. Loved ones saved from damnation. Lost ones saved from destruction. Little ones saved from doom. You go around, and we were talking about that Thursday in the area of giving, and I love that our Sunday school picks up thousands of children. And those little children hear about Jesus. And we save them from destruction. Now, does everybody get saved that comes? No. In fact, there's people that don't like us. There's people that say bad things about us. Did you know this? I have not known this in preacher. All right, preacher's been here for 44 years. I've been here about 24, 25 years. And some of the things that people say, neither of us never knew. I did not know that we get paid to bring children in. I didn't know it. I don't know where the money is, because somebody, and I'm thinking it's bus captains, have been pocketing it. Mm-hmm. That's why, oh, yeah, I saw Mr. Brady with a new car. I'm just throwing it out there, guys. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I didn't know that that was true. I mean, this is just factual, because you know it, because it's on the internet. It's factual. I mean, there's all kinds of hatred out there. Why? You know what it is? They hear about God here. Do you think the devil wants people going to heaven? No. Oh, there's been people, they've been saved. And then, man, we're excited for them, and we want to bring them and see them get baptized and see them grow. And then all of a sudden something comes up and like, no, 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 no. Haven't you heard? Like, ah, yeah. But the devil is going to do whatever he can to not see people saved. He'll do whatever he can. But does that mean that we throw up the white flag and we say, you know what? No more soul winning. No, 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 no. No, we got to keep at it. We got to keep at it, because even later on, it's kind of a parallel passage in the New Testament. It tells us not to be weary in well-doing, right? In Galatians. It's kind of a parallel passage because, hey, you will reap if you faint not. Oh, keep at it. We're coming up to a time when we're gonna on Sunday mornings, we're going to be preaching hard about Jesus Christ. Preaching about Jesus, the Savior of the world. And he doesn't want, the devil doesn't want a lost sinner walking down the aisle. Last week, he did not want young people here. Oh, he wants them bound in sin. He wants them shackled. He wants their life ruined. But Jesus Christ can bring them joy that this world has no idea of. And you know it that are saved. And so the Bible tells us, don't be weary. Keep at it. Why? Because there's a promise. The promise is that you doubtless will come bearing, in the text here, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Boy, what a picture there. Spurgeon said this, our great object in glorifying God is to be mainly achieved by the winning of souls. There was an elevator operator. This was many years ago. I don't think they have elevator operators anymore. But there was an elevator operator many years ago in Nashville, Tennessee. And I liked what he said. He said, I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Now, I'm pretty sure he was a redneck. All right, just from the phrasing there. There in Nashville. But that's what we're trying to do. We say it, we're just sinners saved by grace. There was a crotchety old neighbor. Name was Old Alice. She was a terror in the neighborhood. Children were scared of her. Stray dogs were scared of her. Delivery boys were scared of her. Her face was sour and surly. She would wave her garden trowel and her hedge clippers like weapons of mass destruction to friendly visitors. There was a couple that moved next door to Old Alice. Their names were the Maters. The Maters wanted to speak to Alice about the Lord. They were saved. But she cut them off, saying that she had been a member of a church all her life. I don't know what good it did her. But the Maters looked for ways to befriend her. Over the course of a couple years, the relationship kind of thawed a little bit, but Alice still told them she wanted nothing to do with the gospel. There was a set of evangelistic meetings. They were coming up. The Maters went to church, and there was an evangelistic drive, kind of like our fall push. And the Maters were challenged to make a list of names and pray for them. Alice was at the top of their list. They went to Alice, and she said, no, not coming. One summer, the Maters went on vacation, and they came back from vacation. And they noticed that Alice's house was empty. They found out that she had had a stroke and she was in a nursing home. The Maters started visiting her regularly. They brought her flowers. They started sharing with her news about the neighborhood, about things that were going on in the town. And one of the times as they were visiting, the husband said, hey, do you mind if I read Psalm 23? She nodded. And this continued. He would come and she would allow him to read more and more scripture. As the Maters visited regularly, they read more scripture, started talking of the Savior. One day, you know, Alice, normally when the husband would read the scripture, she was kind of staring off or whatever. They could tell she really wasn't paying attention, but she was. One day, they noticed as the husband was reading scripture, she turned and started staring directly at them. At the end, the husband said, hey, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And she nodded yes. And they prayed. After her prayer, there was tears streaming down her face. And from when the time that the Maters moved in to crotchety old Alice to the time that she got saved in the nursing home, it had been 12 years. You know what the Bible tells us? Don't be weary in well-doing. You'll reap if you faint not. God, help us to understand. The devil wants you quitting. He doesn't want you bringing someone to church. He doesn't want you sharing the gospel. He's going to do whatever he can. Why? Because in your hand, you cannot just change somebody's life here. You pull his fingers off their life for eternity. Then he has no more control. But do you think that it's serious? Yes, it is. So don't quit in the area of soul winning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Talking about soul winning this morning. Talking about sowing the seed. Now, it could be that you came in here this morning and, you know, we talked some about salvation and you're not saved. Then my challenge to you is to come down and we can have somebody show you Christ this morning. But my challenge most of all is to those that are saved, Christians. We're coming to a time, and it should be always, but we're coming especially to a time where you should be burdened about the souls around us. Are you? Have you kind of said, man, this is laborious. This is a little hard. Don't let the devil discourage you. You come and you say, God, make a new resolve so that I will go and I'll be the light I should be. I will be the testimony I should be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the challenge that you can give us to go and share the Word of God with others. Bless the imitation, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing.